bits and pieces of it. God's not talking about fatalism, what will be, but he is saying that he has chosen some from the foundation of the world, and others he has not chosen. And I'll tell you what, he is not beyond making an example of the wicked to put the fear of God in those who are called according to his purpose. He does it. He did it in the flood. He's done it ever since. He just got through doing it over there in India and in the areas around the Indian Ocean. He just got through doing it. Listen to this verse in Isaiah 43. Verse 2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. Did you know, by the way, I read the story on WorldNet Daily of a village that was totally wiped out. But the Christians in the village had all gone to church and the church was up on the mountain. The village was totally wiped out. They came back and there was nothing left. No people either. You know? Isn't that amazing? God picked that time and or whatever. He said, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I have given Egypt as thy ransom. Well, a ransom, of course, is a price that you're willing to pay in order to set somebody captive free, right? Mm-hmm. Well, look, what did he do for Egypt? What did he do for Israel? He gave Egypt as a ransom. Egypt represented the carnal man, and Israel represented the spiritual man. And individually, it's true of us. The old man's got to die so that the new man might live. But corporately, according to the world, the same thing happens. God gives demonstrations that that his people might fear God. You say, there's a lot of Christians out there that have that theology, that God wouldn't do that. Well, he just did. It's time to wake up, folks. He just did, and a lot worse is coming. A lot worse is coming. He said, I've given Egypt as thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in thy stead. Since thou hast been precious in my sight and honorable, and I have loved thee, therefore will I give men in thy stead and peoples instead of thy life. Isn't that amazing? Fear not, for I am with thee, and I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west, and I will say of the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone that is called by my name and whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, yea, whom I have made. So the Lord is willing to make demonstrations, give demonstrations of his power. To put the Bible says the beginning, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And you know what? Christianity has lost its fear of God. Doing that example of the brother that said he didn't believe in the fear of God, you know? Bill was just got through saying that just a little while ago. How he ran across the Baptist brother and he said, asked him, did he have the fear of God? And he said, no, I don't fear God. So he went and got his concordance and looked at all the fear of God verses and kind of pointed them out, you know, to the man. And, hey, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. If you don't fear God, then you don't have the beginning of wisdom. listen to this. I'm going to read a couple things to you, let you know who did this. I get up every morning. I look at about 5 minutes of the news, and then I go straight to work. I'm going to show you what I found. A few things I found right quickly. This 9.0 earthquake and tsunami on December 26th is probably going to kill well over 100,000 people, one way or the other, either from dysentery or from the actual curse itself, you know. But it's hit lands of Indonesia and India and Sri Lanka and Burma and Thailand and Malaysia and even Somalia 3,000 miles away. Can you imagine? Actually, they said in, where was it? San Diego, I think they said, that the waves were raised up about a foot, which I thought, now that's awesome, you know. Listen, 1 year to the hour the BAM earthquake in Iran hit, killed 26,000 people. 58 minutes difference between the BAM earthquake, it happened on December 26, 2, and this one. Can you imagine? Now, I'm sure that would bring the conspiracy theorists out of the woodwork, you know, to figure out something like that. But let me tell you who it is. It's really God. Because God takes credit for any judgments, even if they come through man. And we'll look at some verses like this, because some people say, well, if it came through man, it's not God's judgment. No, that's false. Even whatever the devil does through man, the devil has to get permission. Listen, the devil is the god of this world, but you read the book of Job, folks, he gets permission. Anything that has to do with God's people, he has to have permission. And the Bible says of our God, that he works all things after the counsel of his own will. So we must believe that our God is sovereign. The devil is not sovereign. This was the fifth largest quake in history. They said it was the power of a million nukes going off. That's amazing, isn't it? This was no... I doubt it was any scalar weapons or heart or anything like that, but I guarantee you're going to hear that kind of stuff. But listen to this. It was predicted. But within a few minutes, as a matter of fact, listen. The news media is already claiming it on global warming, you know, which is ridiculous. Now listen to this. Scholars in the Department of Applied Geology at the University of Madras predicted on December the 22nd of this year, in front of the Department of Science and Technology of New Delhi, that the quake would happen on December the 26th near the coast of Sumatra and be around the 7.0. Hey, that's the 7.0 missed, folks. But they came mighty close with the rest of that. They missed the timing by 28 minutes. They predicted it on December 27th. They missed the timing by 28 minutes. And the epicenter by 157 kilometers. Hey, that's pretty close, folks. We've never had anybody that can predict anything like that in the United States yet, okay, except for a prophet, okay? And this is what they found. Their method was that if two or more planets aligned with the sun and the moon, the effects of the angular momentum of Earth and the decrease, which would decrease the speed of rotation, would trigger earthquakes. They analyzed earthquakes over the last 100 years to discover this. So they added up this alignment of planets with the sun and the moon, and they said, okay, it's going to happen right here when this happens. And sure enough, within 28 minutes. You say, this doesn't have anything to do with global warming. This don't have anything to do with HARP. This don't have anything to do with anything but our God, you know? Especially being 58 minutes from the last big quake that we heard about. You know, this is God. He's trying to get people's attention. And you know something? Let me read this other little note to you. I copied. This is quakes may have made the Earth wobble and tilt on its axis. This is U.S. scientists are saying this in Los Angeles, Reuters News Service. The deadly Asian earthquake may have permanently accelerated the Earth's rotation, shortening the days by a fraction of a second. Actually, the Lord showed me from the days of Noah that the days were going to be shortened just a tiny bit. And I shared that here a while back. And this is what they're saying, that this earthquake is doing this. And it says that it caused the planet to wobble on its axis, U.S. scientists said on Tuesday. Richard Gross, a geophysicist with NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory in California, theorized that a shift of mass towards the Earth's center during the quake on Sunday caused the planet to spin 3 microseconds or 3 millionths of a second faster and to tilt about an inch on its axis. When one huge tectonic plate beneath the Indian Ocean was forced below the edge of another, it had the effect of making the Earth more compact and spinning faster, Gross said. Gross said changes predicted by his model, probably are too minuscule to be detected by a global positioning satellite network that routinely measures changes in the Earth's spin, but said the data may reveal a slight wobble. The Earth's poles travel a circular path that normally varies about 33 feet. You can think about the Earth with an axis on a pole and it wobbles around and around in an axis of 33 feet. So an added wobble of an inch is unlikely to cause long-term effects, he said. That continual motion is just used to changing, Gross said. The rotation is not actually that precise. The Earth does slow down and change its rate of rotation. When those tiny variations accumulate, planetary scientists must add a leap second to the end of a year, something that has not been done in many years, Gross said. Scientists have long theorized the changes of the Earth's surface, such as the tide, the groundwater shifts, and weather, could affect its spin, but they have not had precise measurements to prove it, Caltech seismologists have said. Anyway, think about this. You know, how fragile our planet is. If an earthquake like that could actually move its axis, when they're talking about the power of a million nukes going off in the Earth, and it tilts it on its axis and slows its rotation. You know what? I think God's trying to say, look, people think that the Earth, everything's going to go on like it did from the beginning. Nothing's going to change, you know? And the Lord's starting to show us just how fragile this planet is. That was a small earthquake compared to some of those that we read about in the Bible. Not so big a thing. Like the one in the book of Revelation, by the way. Look at the one in the book of Revelation, folks. You're talking about a tsunami. Hey, a tsunami from an earthquake like that is felt all over the world. Think about it. They were talking about 20 and 30 foot waves coming ashore. What kind of waves could an earthquake like this bring about? Could it shift it on its axis? It's obvious from the Bible that that's exactly what's going to happen. The Earth is going to shift on its axis and possibly even turn upside down, because it does say that too. Awesome. Revelation chapter 16. Just think about this great earthquake, which cannot be very far off, folks. We're not far from the tribulation period, and this happens at the end of the tribulation period at the Battle of Armageddon. And I saw coming, verse 13, I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, three unclean spirits, as it were frogs. For they are spirits of demons working signs, which go forth unto the kings of the whole world to gather them together unto the war, the great day of God, the Almighty. You know what? Hey, I don't know if you've noticed it, but I have noticed it over the years. But there is a real anti-Christianism that's going forth over the world. It's nothing but demonic. There are a lot of wicked people, huh?
You think?
Yeah. The demons are taking over people's minds all around us, folks. Absolutely. Even so-called Christians are going to hate you. Jesus said you're going to be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And there is a great hatred being raised up in the world for Christians. Get ready, we're only seeing the beginnings of it here. Behold, I come as a thief. Notice, people talk about Jesus coming as a thief in the night. Well, here he is coming as a thief at the end of the tribulation period. They're talking about a secret pre-tribulation catching away of his people, and they call that Jesus coming as a thief. Well, here he's coming as a thief, folks. This is at the end of the tribulation period. And he's coming to steal God's people out of this earth. Blessed is he that washeth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And they gathered them together in the place which is called in the Hebrew Har-Mageddon. And the seventh poured out his bowl upon the air, and there came forth a great voice out of the temple from the throne, saying, It is done. And there were lightnings and voices and thunders, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since there were men upon the earth, so great an earthquake and so mighty. And the great city, was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. Look at this. The cities of the nations fell. That's a great earthquake.
Worldwide.
Huh?
A world earthquake.
That's a world earthquake. You know, actually, the mantle of the earth could slip on its core and have a worldwide earthquake. Actually, there's a molten core, folks. And it's in, if you had such a shift like that, it could shift the earth on its axis, could tilt it on its axis. It could have a worldwide earthquake. And the great city, well, in the book of Revelation, the great city is Babylon. Okay? And I feel like, if the Lord showed me, this is one of those prophecies that has a double meaning, because there's two Babylons. There's more than two, but I'm going to just talk about two. America is a Babylon. Babylon was the great eagle. Okay? And not only that, there is a world Babylon. Jeremiah 25 in verse, Isaiah 25 in verse 3, it says, a city of terrible nations shall fear thee. You know that there, you know, in the book of Revelation, God uses individuals as corporate bodies of people. He uses cities as corporate cities. He uses harlots as corporate harlots. He uses beasts as corporate bodies of people. Cities in the book of Revelation can be a city of states, or it can be a city of nations. See, it's always a corporate body. God uses them in the book of Revelation to symbolize very large groups of people. So what you're talking about here, you can be looking at two things. You can be talking about the division of America at the time of the end of the tribulation, when America is attacked. The Bible tells us very plainly when America is attacked. It's when the sun is darkened and the moon doesn't give us light. That's when Babylon falls. Isaiah 13 tells us that. And Babylon falls, at the same time that the Lord comes, as a matter of fact, because the Lord comes when the sun is darkened and the moon doesn't give us light. He sends forth his angels, and that's after the tribulation of those days. Matthew 24. Well, here you got the great city being divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. I believe that there is going to be a division in the kingdom of the beast, which is the one world kingdom, and this division is going to break up the world into the king of the north, king of the south, and the kings of the east. And I believe at the same time, America is going to be divided. I've put together over the years a lot of visions and dreams that have come to me, not just me, but through other people sometimes come to me. And it seems that America, you know, the nations, the ten kings, are going to make war on the harlot. But according to a lot of the visions that people have received, there's going to be three basic armies that's going to come to divide up America. And it seems that the Russians are going to take the east, and the Chinese are going to take the west, and Cuba and a lot of Central America is going to take the south. And I'm thinking that just as the world is suddenly going to be divided up, because God is going to send confusion in their midst. Every time that God's people are threatened by the world, three times in scriptures, as a matter of fact, the world gathered together, three nations gathered together against Israel, and when they came against Israel, God divided them, and they ended up killing each other off, and Israel was spared. And God said he was going to go forth and fight against those nations as he fought in the day of battle. Well, the day of battle, when he fought, was clearly speaking of Jehoshaphat. When Jehoshaphat was attacked by three armies, and they came as one, they killed each other off, and they left them alone. Well, here it is. They're coming against Israel, Armageddon, and God's dividing them into three again, for the third time. He's dividing them into three. They're going to fight each other. This is nation against nation. And at this time, there is a great earthquake, such as was not since there were men upon the earth. A great earthquake. If a 9.0 could do what that one did, think about what a real earthquake that's felt all over the world could do. What kind of tsunamis, what kind of tidal waves, they say these things travel at 500-600 miles an hour. You know, what could that do? You know, this one only went a couple of miles inland. You know, but what could one do that was 100 or 200 or 300 feet tall? You know, what could it do? Wipe out cities. Surely, and obviously. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and Babylon the Great was remembered in the sight of God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Every island fled away. That's some kind of tsunami there, isn't it? Every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. Great hail, about the weight of a talent, cometh down out of heaven upon men. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof is exceedingly great. There are other places the same scenario is spoken about in the Bible. Many places, every time Armageddon is spoken about, this great earthquake is spoken about. This is what I think starts the earthquake in Jeremiah 25. Look at this. Notice there's this division of the nations when they come against Israel. He divides them. He causes a civil war in the midst of the beast. In Jeremiah 25 talks about the fall of Babylon. After Babylon has brought the nations of the Middle East under, in Jeremiah 25, after 70 years of keeping these nations under, and the Lord spoke to me one time that it's not 70 years this time, it's 7 years. After 7 years of keeping all the Middle Eastern nations that are mentioned from 15 on through 26, then it's going to be Babylon's turn. It's called Shishak in verse 26. That's an older name for Babylon. It'll be her time for judgment. And 27 starts, I don't know if any of you, probably many of you have, read one of the most famous visions of the destruction of the United States, A.A. Allen's vision of the Statue of Liberty drinking the cup of wrath. Well, when he saw this vision, this was quoted to him, verse 27 on down, as speaking about America. And thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, drink ye and be drunken, and spew and fall and rise no more, because of the sword which I will send among you. And A. Allen saw the Statue of Liberty with a cup and a sword sticking in the cup. And, the Lord commanded her to drink that sword, and she refused. And he said, you shall surely drink. Verse 28, and it shall be, if they refuse to take the cup at thy hand to drink, then thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, you shall surely drink. For lo, I begin to work evil at the city which is called by my name. And should you be utterly unpunished? You shall not be unpunished, for I will call for a sword upon all the inhabitants of the earth, saith the Lord of hosts. So, how in the world does the Lord do this? Well, look down in verse, let's see. I'm going to read the next verse. That's what I'm going to do. Read the very next verse. 30. Therefore prophesy thou against them all these words, and say unto them, the Lord will roar from on high, and utter his voice from his holy habitation. He will mightily roar against his foes. He will give a shout as they that tread the grapes against all the inhabitants of the earth. You remember the great winepress of the wrath of God? Well, this is it right here. The Lord is treading out the grapes against all the inhabitants of the earth. When Babylon falls, folks, it's going to be a world nuclear war. Listen to verse 31. What causes this earthquake? Listen to verse 31. A noise shall come even to the end of the earth, for the Lord hath a controversy with the nations. He will enter into judgment with all flesh. For the wicked he will give them to the sword, says the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, evil shall go forth from nation to nation, and a great tempest shall be raised up from the uttermost parts of the earth. That's nuclear weapons, folks, and the nuclear tempest. And the slain of the Lord shall be at that day from one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth. They shall not be lamented, neither gathered nor buried. They shall be like dung upon the face of the ground. And you can imagine, you know, that if every island disappears and every mountain is thrown down, like the Bible says, we're talking about a tremendous earthquake, tremendous tidal waves. Multitudes will be wiped out. Another verse, Jeremiah, let me think. Isaiah 24. Look at that. What we just saw with this 9.0 is what the Bible says is very, very possible. And if a 9.0 can tilt it on its axis and cause it to wobble, what could this really, really bad earthquake? Okay, Isaiah 23 and 24. Actually, in the original, there was no chapter numbers. In fact, it went on. 23 just went right into 24, originally. And 23 is a parable about America, too. Tyre is that island in the midst of the seas, which was conquered by Alexander the Great. And, of course, they thought it was impregnable. They had the greatest navy known. You know, they had the merchants of Tarshish and the great navy there, and yet they were conquered. And God used it as a type of the fall of America. And actually, it's after 70 years, too. Verse 15, at the end of 70 years, this happens. Just exactly like it does for Babylon. Tyre and Babylon, the same things are spoken about both of them in the Bible. Because they, and by the way, Tyre and Babylon are the only two nations who the Bible specifically says that their king is the devil. Now, you may not like that, folks, but it's the truth. If you rule the head, you rule the body. And Babylon, according to Daniel chapter 2, rules the body. Babylon is the head of gold on the last day's image of the beast. Verse 24, which takes off from talking about Tyre, he says, behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty, and maketh it waste, and maketh it waste, and turneth it upside down. Ooh, look at that. Maketh the earth empty, maketh it waste, and turneth it upside down. Scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. Now, let's see, go on down a little bit to verse 15. Wherefore glory ye the Lord in the east, even the name of the Lord, the God of Israel, in the isle of the sea, from the uttermost parts of the earth, we have heard songs, glory to the righteous. You know, the isle of the sea in that case was Tyre. But the isle in the uttermost parts of the sea from Israel now is America, folks. He uses the smaller type to give a symbol of the larger type. And read on down. Let's see what happens here. Verse, I guess 18. It shall come to pass that he who fleeth from the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit. He that cometh up out of the midst of the pit shall be taken in the snare. For the windows on high are open. That sounds like the flood, doesn't it? Same thing was said about Noah's flood, right? And the foundations of the earth tremble. Of course, that happened in the flood too, right? Again, this is just another flood we've got coming, folks. It's likened unto the the flood of Noah. As were the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. The earth is utterly broken. The earth is rent asunder. The earth is shaken violently. The earth shall stagger like a drunken man, and shall sway to and fro like a hammock. And the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. Yeah, this old world is going down, folks. America and every other nation on this earth, this world, is going down. And the whole world is going to shake and wobble on its axis, and it's going to be utterly broken. Utterly broken. It's not going to... Can you imagine a toy that's broken and it won't work anymore, you know? That's the way America is going to be. By the way, in the Bible codes, in 2013 and 2014, the Jewish year that comes between those two years, it says pole shift. Can you imagine that we may not be very far from this destruction that we're reading about right here? Pole shift. That's what we're talking about. That's exactly what the scientists were saying in California, that there was a slight pole shift. Well, to make it wobble to and fro, I mean, it's normally wobbling 33 feet, right? But what they're saying here in the Bible obviously is much more. And even to the possibility, unless I'm misreading this, that it will be turned upside down. A total pole reversal will be turned upside down. Verse 24, chapter 24 and verse 1. Another place is Ezekiel 38.
Where are we? Okay, Ezekiel what?
38. You know, we just left Isaiah 25, and Jeremiah 25, and Jeremiah 25 is the war that we've just started into. It's the war between Babylon and all the nations in the Middle East. The same nations that ancient Babylon conquered, America is now conquering. America is the great eagle. Ezekiel 17 calls Babylon the great eagle. And the great eagle conquered all those nations. And then after 70 years, all those nations conquered her. Well, after 7 years, all the nations are going to conquer America. And the war that everybody has said, tradition has said, for many, many years, as long as I've been a Christian, you know, they said this Ezekiel 38-39 war was the pre-tribulation war. That's totally false, folks. The pre-tribulation war is the one we're in right now, bringing down the nations of the Middle East. This will not happen. Ezekiel 38-39 will not happen pre-tribulation. You know why? Because it's a part of Armageddon. They say, oh, it can't be a part of Armageddon because there's too few nations there. First of all, folks, the names that are given in chapter 38 are not nations. They are not the names of nations. Go and look for yourself. Look in Genesis chapter 10. The names of these people are mentioned in Genesis chapter 10. If you go back to Noah's grandsons, and you're talking about involving these people in an end-time war, think about the geometric progression of Noah's grandsons in our day. We're not just talking about nations. Each name listed here is on average 1/16 of the population of planet Earth. Talking about Noah's grandsons here. He's not talking about nations here. This is a massive group of people. It's the only one he's mentioning here, by the way, in chapter 38 from 1 through 9, is just the army that comes from the north. And when you go on down a little further, he's talking about the army that's in the south. You see? And they haven't yet mentioned the army that's already in the battle theater. That's right. The Shemites that are still in the battle theater. That's the Syrians, the Assyrians, the Iranians, the Armenians, you know, lots and lots of people are already there. They're not coming down from the uttermost parts of the north. They're already there. We're talking about Armageddon here, folks. And Armageddon is at the end of the tribulation period. Now look in verse 19. Now, verse 18. It shall come to pass in that day, when God shall come against the land of Israel, saith the Lord, that my wrath shall come up in my nostrils. For in my jealousy, and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel. So that the fishes of the sea, and the birds of the heavens, and the beasts of the field, and all creeping things that creep upon the earth, and all the men that are upon the face of the earth shall shake at my presence. That's some kind of earthquake here, folks. And the mountains shall be thrown down, steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. Can you imagine having a tribulation period with no cities, all the walls falling down, all the mountains falling down? No, this is not a pre-tribulation war. Okay? And I will call for a sword against him unto all my mountains, saith the Lord. Every man's sword shall be against his brother. Why? Because this happens every time God's people are invaded or are threatened by basically three armies. They come as three, they come as one, and he divides them into three. History proves the exact same thing every time. Happens every time. This is God's repeating history, so we know what's going to happen. When he divides the nations that come against Israel, that's the same thing that's happened historically. That is Armageddon. That's just what we read in Revelation 16. And with pestilence and with blood will I enter into judgment with him. Not only is America going to be hit by nuclear weapons, but even before that, America is going to be hit by biological weapons. This is it right here. Pestilence and blood. First of all, biological weapons attack the blood, don't they? And this is a pestilence. And I will rain upon him and upon his hordes and upon many peoples that are with him an overflowing shower and great hailstones. There it is again. Every time Armageddon is mentioned, this great hailstorm. I don't know, but I have heard that in a nuclear war, one of the side effects of nuclear war is hailstones. And I believe, I pointed out to you a few minutes ago, how that at the same time when this earthquake happens, America and the world is going to be in the midst of an all-out nuclear exchange. That's what I believe sets off the earthquake, is an all-out nuclear exchange. The nation, at least America and Russia, has studied how to make earthquakes with nuclear weapons. They studied it. They've made special bombs in order to be able to make earthquakes. So don't think they're not going to do it, folks. And even whether they plan to do it or not, if you set off that many nuclear weapons, you could set off the greatest earthquake the world has ever known. And I will magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will make myself known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. When are the nations going to know that he's the Lord? At the beginning of the tribulation period or at the end of the tribulation period? Not at the beginning, folks. They're persecuting the saints. If they knew he was the Lord at the beginning of the tribulation period, you bet they wouldn't persecute the saints. Matter of fact, you need to read the rest of both of these chapters and you'll see that there's no way this can be at the beginning of the tribulation period. That's the traditions of men. That's all that is. You know, the very fact that many apostates have preached that ought to let you know that it isn't possible for it to happen. Verse 7. And my holy name will I make known in the midst of my people Israel. Neither will I suffer my holy name to be profaned any more. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One in Israel. The nations are going to know that the Lord is the Lord. When he defends Israel in the battle of Armageddon and destroys them, causes them to destroy each other. Did you notice that when we read Jeremiah, that evil shall go forth from nation to nation and the Lord is going to go out and trample down the wicked? See, some people say, well, because it's man's doing, This is not the wrath of God. That's not what it said there. The Lord is the one trampling down the vintage, the great winepress of the wrath of God. But men are the ones that sent forth the nuclear weapons. But you know what? God put it in their heart to do that. Just like those demons came and brought all nations against Israel. And when they got there, they divided them in order to destroy them. Did you know that? The demons are going to do that too. When they get them there, they're going to divide them in order to destroy them. So, even though the Bible says the wrath of man shall praise thee. Does that sound like God is going to use the wrath of man? Yes, He will. Yes, He will. You know, I know that the conspiracy buffs are going to be saying that this earthquake is something from Harp or whatever. And they already said it last time with the BAM earthquake. They said Harp did that. They did that with Harp. It doesn't matter what they did it with. God did it. That's the point. That's the whole point. Let's see, verse 21. And I will set my glory among the nations, that all the nations shall see my judgment. See, they say in Ezekiel 38 and 39, we're not talking about all nations, but He is talking about all nations. And all the nations, and I will set my glory amongst the nations, and all the nations shall see my judgment that I have executed in my hand that I have laid upon them. You see, it does involve all nations. So the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord their God from that day forward. And the nation shall know that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquity, because they trespassed against me. And I hid my face from them, so I gave them into the hand of their adversaries. And they fell, all of them, by the sword. See, the lesson is over, folks. No longer is the Lord hiding His face. He's revealing Himself, just like He did in the book of Revelation, at the great and terrible day of the Lord. The nations are going to look on His face and say, hide us. Fall on us and hide us in the face of Him that sits on the throne. Talking about the mountains, you know. Fall on us and hide us. And guess what? God obliges them. Because all the mountains fall, don't they? He obliges them. He gives them just what they ask for. And you think, so many people say God is a God of love. He just wouldn't do that. For goodness sake, we're talking about 100,000 people dying here, you know. We're talking about a flood. The fear of God. God is going to restore the fear of God. By the grace of God, He hadn't hit America yet. There is a high percentage of people in America, probably a higher percentage than in India or Sri Lanka or places like that, of Christians. You know what? God is giving a demonstration that He is still in sovereign control and that we had better fear Him. It's just that right now, He's sending men in our stead. He wants to restore the fear of the Lord. These people that don't believe God would do that, do they believe that the devil is sovereign? Because they blame the devil for all the bad. Nothing good comes from the devil, and all the bad comes from the devil. But the truth is, it all comes from God through vessels of honor or vessels of dishonor. Everything comes from
the insurance companies claim that.
Hmm?
The insurance companies claim that.
Acts of God.
Acts of God.
Yeah.
Never be acts of Satan, it has to be acts of God.
Yeah. Well, we're not doubting that it's an act of Satan.
Yeah.
We're just pointing out that the only one we really need to fear is God. Mm-hmm. Somebody pointed out Matthew, I believe it's 10 and 28, you know. Fear not him who's able to destroy the body. Fear him who's able to destroy both body and soul in hell. And God was speaking about Himself. You're not to fear anybody but Him. Fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Well, again, the armies are here. You have the king of the north, Ezekiel, in Ezekiel 38 from 1 through 6. You have the king of the south, who is obviously part of the division, down from 13 on down. And this great shaking that happens in the great and terrible day of the Lord. Can you imagine an earthquake that would cause every mountain and every wall and every island and every city to be gone? We just can't imagine something so terrible. But yet, God likens it to the flood, as it was in the days of Noah. It's going to wipe out masses of humanity, much more people than the flood. Much more people than the flood. And God is angry with the world. He's going to be particularly angry with the world in the day of the Lord, because the world has persecuted His saints. Mm-hmm. They have persecuted and killed the righteous. And now it's a day of God's wrath upon the wicked who have mistreated His people. So all before that time is going to be a great wrath of Satan, some people have called it, before the wrath of God, the wrath of Satan against the church, before the wrath of God against the wicked, the harlot, and the beast. Be that as it may, the Lord is going to bring great wrath over this earth, and great tidal waves, and great earthquakes, and great pestilences. And we just need to be ready, folks.
All those people that God created to persecute the saints, were created to persecute the saints.
That's right. That's right. God's always used the greater multitude of people to persecute the saints.
And then, when they're done persecuting the saints, then God then puts wrath on the people He created to persecute the saints.
That's right.
Just like He did with Israel, when He sent armies against Israel to persecute Israel, then He destroyed those armies after that got done persecuting Israel.
God uses the harlot to persecute the righteous. He uses the beast to agree with the harlot to persecute the righteous. Then He uses the beast to destroy the harlot to persecute the righteous. Then He destroys the beast, then destroys the harlot that persecutes the righteous. History just repeats itself, and God just follows the same pattern, you know?
Seven kingdoms.
God's awesome. He's got a plan. Look at Isaiah 13. And Isaiah 13 is the story of the fall of the great eagle, Babylon. It happens in the day of the Lord. If you don't know when the day of the Lord is, you do a little research, you'll find in Matthew 24, as a matter of fact, that the sun is darkened and the moon doesn't give us light when the Lord sends forth His angels to gather together His elect. And yet, the sun is darkened and the moon doesn't give us light before the day of the Lord comes. Matthew 24 says, after the tribulation, the sun is darkened and the moon doesn't give us light. But the sun is darkened and the moon won't give us light before the day of the Lord comes. So you've got the tribulation and then the day of the Lord. The fall of America is in the day of the Lord. Verse 9. The fall of Babylon is in the day of the Lord. When God gathers the nations, I'll go back to verse 4. When God gathers the nations together, He's mustering the host for battle. They come from a far country, from the uttermost parts of heaven, even the Lord and the weapons of His indignation to destroy the whole land. You see, the Lord is fighting against the earth. The Lord is driving these nations. The Lord and His angels from heaven are driving these nations to destroy one another. And in verse 9 it says, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel with wrath, fierce anger, to make the land a desolation. This is the flood, folks. The day of the Lord. A year of wrath, Isaiah 34 and 8 calls it. To make the land a desolation and destroy the sinners thereof out of it. Notice that. Destroy the sinners thereof. Now God's very precise here. The day of the Lord is not to destroy any of the righteous. because the righteous are in the ark, like Noah was in the day of the Lord, is to destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light, the sun shall be darkened in its going forth. There it is. And the moon shall not cause its light to shine. That's when the Lord goes forth and gathers his elect. That's when the ark lifts off, basically. And he goes on saying, I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and I will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. And I will make a man more rare than fine gold, even a man than the pure gold of Ophir. Therefore I will make the heavens to tremble, and the earth shall be shaken out of its place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts, in the day of his fierce anger. So right now we have opportunity to bear fruit and not partake of this day of wrath. All of the wicked Christians, folks, all of the apostate Christians, folks, have got just 7 years to get it right, to be disciples of Jesus Christ, to repent of their believing convenient lies, and to believe the Word of God and become disciples. And if not, they are going into this great day of wrath. Just as throughout history, God's people who have been wicked and even persecuted the righteous have gone into this day of wrath throughout history. This is the great day of wrath now. Right now, we see people around us that claim to be Christian, but they won't believe the truth, though you show it to them. They have their convenient doctrines, and they'll persecute you and call you, what did he call me the other day? Idiot.
Idiot, moron.
And they'll call you idiot.
Rabbit.
A rabbit idiot.
We need to get the vaccine.
Yeah.
Okay. Enough.
I was just, you're talking about all this, and the verse that kept coming to my mind all night is Romans 9:21. All night. Where it says, "Hath the potter the right over the clay?"
Part a vessel unto honor, and under this honor.
I mean, if he's creating the vessel, he just has the right to smash it up if he wants.
That's right. Well, history in Jesus' time proved that. For the book of Acts, the harlot of apostate Judaism persecuted the church, killed the church, killed the saints, and God had mercy on them for 40 years, 40, which is the number of tribulations. Then in 70 A.D., all of those people who were called the people of God but persecuted the saints and believed their convenient lies so that they could feel comfortable in this world, they all went into that time of 70 A.D. and they were slaughtered, folks. There were crosses all around Jerusalem with Jews nailed to them, folks. And the Romans came in there, they had to climb over mountains of bodies. Josephus, the historian Josephus, recounts the whole thing. How that when they finally went into that city, and all of Israel had been gathered in there behind its walls to protect them from the Romans, and they finally went into that city, they had to climb over mountains of dead bodies to get into the city. And it was a massacre of people who called themselves the people of God, who did not escape the great day of the Lord in that time. They didn't escape.
And that was 2.5 million people that day, that year.
See, that's what I was talking about when you were asking about the numbers. And
100,000 people is nothing compared to... I mean, that's almost genocide.
When you look at scriptures... And that's not, I'm not talking about the Great Flood. I'm talking about, I mean, there's lots of judgments in there like that.
That's right. Like,
didn't Josephus say that there's only like a couple of thousand Jews left after that day? Yeah. And there's only a couple of thousand after 2.5 million deaths, there's only like 2,000 left. That was it. Of all Jews on the earth.
And this time, we're talking about Christians. Mm-hmm. Because Christians have the covenant. They are spiritual Jews. They've been born again. They're the New Testament kingdom of God. This time there's going to be multitudes of them that are going to be destroyed in the flood. All the time thinking that they're Christians. But they persecuted the righteous. but they've sided with the beast. Be careful who you side with now, folks. I mean, if you side with the government of this world, you're siding with the beast. Because they're all joining together into a one world government. Amen.
A world tolerance.
Yeah. So the people of God are going to have, in very short order, just 7 years, to come to repentance and bear fruit. Otherwise, they're going to go through the great and terrible day of the Lord. And God's going to destroy the sinners thereof out of it. Verse 9. A great shaking. The whole earth is going to shake.
It was only about 2 or 3 years ago that I had an assistant pastor that almost chewed me up and spit me out because I said something about tithing. Remember the assistant pastor of the church over there below me?
Yeah.
I mean, he was furious. I never saw anybody make that walkway going out of my shop bounce. He did. Shattered. I mean, he shook all the windows in the building and closed it.
Kurt and I went to an Assembly of God church one time, which is the church his mama used to go to. And there was a lady that stood up and gave a vision that she'd seen of great fireballs falling on America. And there was a young man that was a brand new baby Christian, didn't know anything about the Bible, was there. And he had received a vision of nuclear missiles coming to the United States. Listen to this. This is what this young man saw. Brand new Christian. Didn't have any background in Christianity. Right, Kirk? He stood up and said, he said he saw the Welcome to Warrington sign. Well, that's right over here, not far from us here, folks. There's a Navy base there. And it's a prime target, you know. He said he saw the Welcome to Warrington sign. He said he saw nuclear missiles coming to the United States. And he said all of a sudden that Welcome to Warrington sign wasn't nothing but a great big hole in the ground. And he said there was one little white church that was left in the midst of... He saw Christians getting up off the ground after this nuclear explosion and dusting themselves off like they were invincible and just walking on off. And he saw this little white church. And he saw an invading army in the United States. This little white church was left after this nuclear explosion. The Welcome to Warrington sign, you see. And he saw this little white church full of people seeking the Lord. And this invading army wheels up outside and they point their guns towards the people. The people came out of the church and they pointed all their guns at the people in church. And all of a sudden, a mighty wind just blew that army away. And those people were preserved. And then another person got up and gave theirs. Then I got up and gave some visions that I'd received, you know, from the Lord. All of them indicating that the church was about to go through tribulation. And Kurt said the next week, that pastor got up in the pulpit and said, "Now, you don't have to worry about none of that, because we're all flying away." Disregarded everything, even the young Christian that really wasn't mixed up in his theology, he just had a vision from God, you know. Disregarded all, threw it all out the window. And the man was dying of cancer from...
Well, he wasn't at that
years.
Time, but it wasn't too long after he got cancer of the larynx. I mean, the
larynx.
The throat area.
Larynx.
Yeah, and he he's still living, but I mean, he went through...
Living hell on earth, right?
Yeah.
Well, would to God that he would be mercy on all the people that are preaching that lie.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what they have to go through to repent of speaking the things that they speak. I think it's kind of amazing that he got cancer of the larynx, you know, speaking the things that they speak that are going to bring, you know, causing people not to get prepared for the terrible things that are coming upon this world, folks. We have to abide in Christ, the secret place of the Most High. God has given us a place of safety by abiding in Jesus Christ. And most of the church world doesn't even believe that they need any such thing as that. And they don't even think it's necessary because they're unconditionally eternal secure. You know, they don't think that they have to walk as he walked. They don't think it's a possibility that they could be holy and without blemish.